Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something awakens imagination, empowers storytellers, and connects the Missoula community through that transformative power of personal storytelling. It is a celebration of each other, our stories, and how we move through the world together. All of the stories at Tell Us Something are true. Stories last for 10 minutes and are told from memory. Everyone is welcome to tell a story. The Missoula community comes together for a night of true personal stories, shared live, focused on a theme. Everyone has a story. What's yours?
This episode of the Tell Us Something podcast was recorded in front of a live audience on March 29th, 2016 at the Wilma in Missoula, Montana. 9 storytellers shared their story based upon the theme, Why Didn't Anyone Tell Me?
So I was always warned growing up about the dangers of drug addiction and what that might look like if you happen to fall into that peril, the opportunities that might be lost, friendships that might be lost, and all those other things that they attached with that. But what nobody ever told me was that love could be like a drug and that you could end up in a relationship that resembled drug addiction. And that's exactly what happened to me. I had gone through this breakup, and it was terrible, and it was really painful, and it was devastating. But I was on the up and up, I was on the mend, and so I was feeling like, yeah, all right, you know, you put yourself out there, and that's when I met Sam. And, you know, things were great at first, and I thought this was the perfect person to date. I thought this is gonna be the best rebound relationship. I'm coming out of this heartache, and I could tell, you know, you have that great sense of intuition about somebody, like this is not a good long-term relationship, you know? This is a fantastic rebound. I can just pop in there and we can have fun. He was very charismatic. He was very charming and a go-getter. And he was moving to Canada. He was gonna go live in Fernie and he was gonna snowboard there. And I thought, perfect, there's no breakup. We already have this planned. It's in the initial stages. We know what's happening. And so cool, we got this like rebound planned. And it was a little longer of a rebound than I had thought. By 7 years. And they were some of the hardest 7 years of my life. And I really got to look at what that relationship it becomes like substance abuse. And essentially it is. I look at it now and I think it's a lot like chemical romance. The ups are so up and the downs are so down. And I ended up in a position that I was essentially fighting for my life. And all those things that they warned you about, the potential loss of friendships, you know, losing things that are important to you, did happen to me to some extent, but I don't know that people always realize how much you struggle. I don't know that we always see each other's darkest hours. And I think that because when we retreat to those places, we keep them very close and we sort of hide them. But I wanted out. I wanted to leave. I wanted to leave it all behind and get away from him. So we did this back and forth thing for so long. And there were so many times that I felt so broken. There was a point at which I had been working on this story. I love to write, and I'd been working on this story, and I was in love with the characters. There was one character who made weird things out of bread, and like you can bake them and glaze them, and they will last forever, and she would make like little figurines and flowers, and she had a twin sister, and I felt really connected to these characters. And I got to this place where I was like, yeah, I'm really doing it. And then I'm not sure what he was looking at on my computer that he didn't want me to know about, but he took it to the computer guys and he had them completely erase my hard drive, and I didn't have anything backed up. And when I would go to him and say, this is how I feel and I'm devastated and this is so hard and why are we doing this? And he would say something like, those are really pretty earrings. Have you had those for a while? And it's so weird. You're just looking at this person like, God, I hate love you. And I need to get away from you. And I worked really hard at times. So there was a period where I moved out of my house, and I moved in with family, and I started looking for a new job, quit my job, started a new job, dropped my cell phone, got a new phone number. I had a new house, I had a new car, I had a new job, everything. I was like, yeah, he's not gonna get me, I'm starting over, this is awesome, and bam, he'd show up at my work. And it was just like that. It's that moment where an addict has cleaned up, and they're doing so good, and they're like on it, and they're making it, it's happening. And they've changed their environment so that they can make that transition. And then they're in that place, and that thing is passed to them. That offering is made. And for me, I just felt like maybe I was overreacting. Like maybe it wasn't as bad as I made it out to be. Maybe I should give this another shot. Like maybe it'll work. And so I would, so I did. And I wasn't overreacting, and it was terrible, and it would be immediate 2 days after we were together again. But then it's kind of like, yeah, but I already just reinvested myself, so I gotta like plug away at it, which is never a good idea. And we ended up buying a house together, which is bizarre to its own right, why we do these things. And it got really gnarly, and it just got to this point where we were sleeping in these separate bedrooms. And I mean, I was young, and I was already at that like creepy, weird place that you do in a midlife crisis. And I decided, this is it. I'm not doing this anymore. I am marching down there, and I am gonna tell him that we are either in it, and we are gonna move forward, and we're gonna make this work out, or we are splitting up. Like, I'm not limboing. There's no in-between anymore. So I got it, and I know what I'm gonna say, and I felt like he was never listening to me and that I wasn't validated, but I'm going for it. And I walk down the stairs, and I walk into his room, and it's dimly lit because it's evening, and he has his little lamp on, and he's propped up on pillows in his bed with the blankets pulled up, and he's working on a crossword puzzle. And I'm standing inside the doorway, and I say, so, I feel like you never hear me. I feel like I try to say things, but that you're not really listening, and I'm trying to get to the whole part about we need to move forward or get away from each other, and he just nods off. And his head, you know, his chin just collapses against his chest, and something snapped in me. Like a fucking crazy bitch just came erupting out. And, right? And I hear myself say, you might sleep through me, but you will not sleep through this. And then I started with the dresser in his room, and then just one awesome bitchy motion, wonk! I just leveled it, and I did have an aloe vera plant that was mine on it, so it wasn't like I was just leveling his stuff. And then I rolled into the living room, and by this point, I didn't care who was watching or listening, if neighbors could hear me, or if he was even awake yet, which he was, and he was after me, but I was like, jung, 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 all over, level, 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 all my hippie crystals and rocks and plants and books and pots and pans and mixers and cookie trays, and I mean, really anything that was exposed on a surface, which anyone that knows me knows that there's no empty surfaces in my life. So I have, I'm leveling them all, and it's awesome, and like I feel pretty good, actually. Like, I'm mastering this, because I'm done 7 years, this is bullshit, I'm over it. So he comes after me, right? And then he gets his hands around my neck, and he's like, you crazy bitch, stop it. And I'm wailing on his chest, but he sees me, and he is like devastated. She's done. She's over it. And I was. And it was a powerful feeling because I knew none of that bullshit that he had been feeding me. Like when he would show up and he would say, I've been hiking all these mountains all day long, and all I do is think about you because you are my soulmate. But really, he was just like, I've been fucking tons of other chicks. And now I'm back in town, so, you know, let's do this. So none of that was really working anymore. And, you know, I made the separation happen, and I'm, it's not easy, right? Because you think that that's the victory moment, but it's like that's the high, and now you're going to go through the low, but you can't go back. And it got to that point where it's just like, oh, because I loved him, you know? It wasn't that I didn't love him. And my heart was so heavy, and it was hard to eat, and it was hard to sleep, and it was hard to think straight. It was hard to go to work, but I would crawl on my hands and knees to get to the front door so that I could get to my car, so I could go get groceries, so I can continue living. And it was a fight for my life. And I fought every day for as many days as it took. And I had to start looking at myself, like, what am I doing and what am I responsible for? And how can I change what I'm doing so that I don't keep doing that? And I did make mistakes. I didn't come out of that experience just free and clear and new page, happy ever after. I got to a place where I rebounded again after that, and I made poor choices. I ended up in a relationship with a person I loved dearly, and he was a raging alcoholic, and that didn't work out. And I had to go back to the drawing table and say, what am I doing? What is this? What is in me? What is my compulsion? And I had been really looking for somebody that was the right person for a really long time. I wanted to love, and I wanted to be in that relationship, and I was looking and looking and not finding it. So I just started to work on myself. And I started looking at what attitudes that I carried. And, you know, I really had to look at my defensiveness because I was a very defensive person, and that was part of my problem. That was something I needed to work on. So I worked on that, and I did a lot of visualization. I visualized where I wanted to go, and I knew I wanted to get there. And it was so challenging because I realized that the place that I had been was comfortable. It was so uncomfortable, but it was comfortable because I knew what to expect. I knew that that unhappiness was going to be there. What I didn't know was what that other place that I was going to go was going to look like, and that scared the shit out of me, even though it had the potential to be so much better. So I just started visualizing what I wanted in a relationship, but I started with myself and what relationship I needed to have with myself, and I worked tirelessly at it. And when I met my husband, I didn't know he was gonna be my husband. And he was goofy, and he was athletic, and he was sweet, and I would get his name wrong, and we ended up being really great friends. And he kind of, I don't know if it was accident or not, but you know, he swept me off my feet. And I was a little leery, both because I wasn't sure that I was there, that I had done the work that I needed to do. And at one point in the beginning of our relationship, I said to him, I think I'm too mean for you. I think I might be too rough around the edges because you are so nice and you're so sweet. And he said, I think in the end that you'll be a little nicer, and I'll be a little meaner, and it'll all work itself out. Okay, I can work with that. But I really didn't want him to be meaner because he's so wonderful. And, you know, there was just so much that he did that was so different, and it was really refreshing to feel that. I remember in days when they'd just be hard days, you know, as we all have, and I don't even remember what was happening that day, but I remember he looked at me and I was sad, and he said, I am going to kiss that frown right off your face. And I thought, now that is a guy. And he was so devoted to his family, and is so devoted to his family, that became something that was so close to my heart. Like anyone that can devote themselves to their family in that way and love them so unconditionally, I knew that I would also receive that treatment. And so I married him because he's wonderful and amazing and makes, you know, I am a better version of myself every day, and he supports everything that I do wholeheartedly. And I really had to come back and re-review where I had been and where I was going. And I realized that I had been, you know, putting so much and investing so much all those years in finding the right person. And in the end, it wasn't about that. In the end, it was about just being the right person. Thank you.
Thanks, Katrina. Katrina Farnham is a local herbalist with a passion for plants, fungi, and the wild, untamed niches that are waiting all around us. Born in Montana and full of spit and vinegar, she works daily to change stigmas that stunt us as a culture from moving forward fully with passion and integrity. Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. For the good of Missoula, forever. MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Top Hat Lounge, bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years. The Top Hat hosts a variety of Montana-based artists and has become a destination for national touring musicians. In addition to great music, the Top Hat hosts comedy shows, film, and performance art. The Top Hat also offers a unique dining experience centered on local house-made ingredients. Dining made different. TopHatLounge.com. The Wilma, a locally owned and independently operated venue. The Wilma has anchored the Missoula cultural and entertainment scene for almost 100 years. Constructed in 1921 as a vaudeville house, the Wilma was utilized as a movie house for the majority of its history. In the 1980s, the Wilma began to once again host live entertainment. Now, it is a state-of-the-art live music facility within a spectacular historic building. TheWilma.com. The Trail 103.3, Missoula's quality rock and part of our unique Western Montana community. Featuring local DJs who love Missoula and know their music, they share a new Montana adventure each week with The Trail Well Traveled. Stream online at trail1033.com or tune in to 103.3 when you're in Missoula. The Bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. Thanks to Cash for Junkers, who provided the music for the podcast. Find them at CashForJunkersMusic.com. If you're interested in sponsoring Tell Us Something, email me at marc@tellussomething.org. That's marc@tellussomething.org. Podcast production by Kirsten Rohan. Thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and most especially to the storytellers. Susan Hansen, Dagny Deutschman, Jenny Pack, Louis Vero, Nicole Sweeney, Juanita Vero, Sawyer Connolly, Svein Newman, and Katrina Farnham. Remember, your story matters. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Check the website to find out how you can tell your own story and to learn about the themes for the 2016 season. TellUsSomething.org.